Welcome to episode 318 of Fly Away. Here at Outlander Travel, we're passionate about, well, travel. Throughout the years, we've seen many changes in the industry, but one thing that has stayed the same is the urge to explore our world and make the connections that can only be made through experience. My name is George, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Elizabeth, Sandy, and Donna. Walt Disney once said that Disneyland will never be completed. It will continue to grow as long as there is imagination left in the world. Over the years, we've watched both Disneyland and Walt Disney World change and evolve to better fit the world around them. No time has this adaptability been more apparent or valuable than now, as the world we all live in has had to make adjustments for the safety of everyone. So has Walt Disney World. Recently, a plethora of plethora. Wow, that's a
big one. Say you have a plethora.
Plethora of Outlander travel agents visited Walt Disney World to experience these modifications for themselves. Any excuse to go to Disney World, am I right? So
You're right.
Get started. Yeah, I missed this one. This is the first year in, geez, I don't know how many years I didn't go to a Disney park.
I mean, the year isn't over yet, George. There's still time.
It's pretty over.
It's pretty much over.
Yeah. This is one of the places, though, where I feel very comfortable sending people, as long as they have the right expectations of what the trip will be. It's not like I want to send my first-time Disney people there, but if you're familiar with Disney and you've been a lot and you know what the rules are and stuff, I feel like it's pretty safe. As safe as going to the grocery store, you know? That's how I feel.
How do you feel, Sandy?
That's how I feel. I feel like
it's okay. Yeah, if this is your first time going and you've got this all built up in your mind, this is probably not the year to go. But if you're a regular park goer and you know kind of what to expect, then it's still a good time to go.
And you want a little bit of magic, you know? You want that pixie dust?
Just to get away.
Yeah.
I'm just still not going as long as there's a mask rule in place. It's just not my thing.
It'll be a while, I think.
Well, I have to tell you, George, the ones
I'm
they
not
sell.
In a rush. Yep.
The ones that Disney actually sells are very, very comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've heard the exact opposite about that. So I do think it's I think it's personal preference. And if you don't want to wear a mask, then you're right. You don't go for a while. I mean, that's just sort of the way the world is right now. It's totally
Well, I will say, when they first came out with their masks, they had this like t-shirt material mask, and now the ones they sell at the parks are like a polyester kind of thinner material, and that's what I wear home a lot too now. I've got like three of them that I bought at the parks that I can wear all day and feel pretty good in them. So
looking at the topics, boy, you guys did a whole bunch of different things. So let's start with food and wine. Normal year versus obviously the crazy 2020 COVID year. How different was it, and was it still as enjoyable?
This was like my favorite thing still. I think it was pretty close to normal in so far as the food booths and you know, walking around and partaking. The things that aren't there are the extras, like the any of the little classes and things that they do, any of those kind of things. The Eat to the Beat concert series is not going on, so that's a little bit different. So it's definitely a scaled down version, but the booths that are there are really good. Some of my favorites were there, so I was really happy. And I didn't really notice that there was anything really missing in terms of the booths.
Mm-hmm. Well, my only issue was that you weren't allowed to walk around and eat. You had to keep your mask on as you were. So you had to be stationary. Yeah. But they didn't really have like enough bar tables sitting around and benches and things like that where people could sit down and actually eat. Because you couldn't walk around and eat. So that was my only little issue, was they really needed some more tables and more seating in the area.
And that, that's something that changed, because when I went in September, every single booth that I went to, I had someplace to sit. Like, it was so empty compared to when I went in October, and then you guys went in November. So I feel like there was a gradual increase in crowds, because when I went in October, it was a different experience than when I went. We still could, for the most part, find some place to sit or, you know, use a table or whatever in October. But in September, we never had a problem. Like, there was always at least three empty somethings, tables or benches, right close by. So
September is typically a little bit less crowded than getting into like the Halloween time frame and holidays and stuff. But, you know, Dawn, I didn't really notice that when we were there in November. I felt like I always had a place to stand, you know, I felt like it was okay. I don't remember it being.
I'm not as coordinated as you, Sandy, that I can't really stand and eat and pay attention to what I'm doing and walk at the same time. So I need to sit down and put my drink down and actually.
Yes, I'm with you on that. And actually, last year I bought one of those little trays so that I could like put my glass on, because it was just making me crazy. And so to me, I like the rule of having to stay stationary, because that's how I prefer to eat. I don't like to eat and walk, especially when you're dealing with little bite-sized things with sauces and things on them. I mean, if they were all finger foods, that'd be one thing. But a lot of time, I mean, like, you get the steak in Canada, you got to use a knife and fork, you know, or else you pop this whole like quarter size filet mignon in your mouth.
Well, and it's also not so much the food and wine. Like, I do think that you are more likely to stand around and kind of savor what you got. But even if you go to like Starbucks or something, I mean, I'm used to buying a Starbucks and then walk into the thing that I want to do. And that's not happening. You have to still pull off to the side, stand somewhere, stay and be still, and take your mask off and take a sip, and then put your mask back on and walk, and then stop, pull your mask down, take a sip, you know. So, and that's because people were kind of abusing it, and they were, you know, walking around with a cup and not having their mask on. So I would rather it be this way. I'm okay with it. I can do whatever they need me to do as long as I can be there, you know.
I just wish there was a little bit more seating.
Yeah.
I think we always wish that at Epcot. So big. I always just want to sit down. And maybe that's why my impression is different, because I'm used to there not being anywhere to sit down. It's always super crowded. And just the fact that there was like empty space for my butt just made me completely happy. So I probably saw it more, just, you know, how you wear the different filter on your glasses. It's like, for me, it just seemed like there was tons of space because I'm so used to being at Epcot and having nowhere to sit. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, it probably is different from the different perspective of I can't find anywhere to sit.
And to me, really, Epcot, you know, now that they're reducing crowds, they have reduced capacity, but they also don't have Fast Pass. So, mm-hmm. and they don't have some of the shows. So the crowds aren't taken up by some of that stuff that normally would be. So the other parks feel crowded to me. Epcot just, even on a very crowded day, doesn't necessarily feel crowded to me. I can always find a way to wander away and get away from the crowd when I'm in Epcot, which I love.
Yeah. Pro tip, if you really want to sit down, because I frequently do at Epcot, wander into the pavilion, like in Canada or in China. There's a lot of beautiful places to sit down that are actually really pretty, like with looking at a garden or whatever, and nobody's there because they don't think to go.
You wander into Morocco, you feel like you've left the United States. Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah,
it's true.
So since everybody was there after Thanksgiving, the Christmas decorations should have been in full effect.
Well, we weren't there after Thanksgiving. Elizabeth and I were there before Halloween, but when Donna and I were there, it was after Halloween. And so the holiday stuff was out. So Christmas was everywhere.
And Halloween was everywhere when we were there in late October. So
pretty much November 1st, Halloween goes away and it's Christmas.
And there were no after hours parties this year. So I wasn't sure they would go all out. And honestly, I've never counted the decorations, so I can't tell you that they were exactly as decorated as they usually are. But seemed it. I mean, I was completely happy with the level of decorating.
The only thing I noticed is that they didn't have all of the Christmas lights on the castle.
Oh yeah, yeah.
At the well, they didn't do the, yeah, they didn't do that.
They had thing. They had the light show, but they didn't have all the
icicle lights.
The icicle lights.
I've heard they're not going to do those again. That the projections that they're doing now with the wrapping paper and the other things are going to take place of that.
I believe
it was
that.
So beautiful.
It was, but it's so much work and it takes them so long to hang those lights that they flip yes. the switch on the projector and it's done. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that makes me happy that I got to see the icicle lights when they had them.
Because... Although the castle has been painted and it's beautiful. I mean, that new coat of paint is really impressive. Yeah. Yeah. It is kind of nice to walk in and see it differently. And it's not like when it was pink several years ago. It's really pretty.
So one thing they're doing with the holidays is, you know, since they're not having those after hours party, they're bringing some of that flavor into the parks. So for example, when they do the cavalcades, they're not doing parades right now because they don't want people standing around for a long time, but they bring through those cavalcades that are like kind of a mini parade, maybe like one float and some people walking on the sides of it, or maybe two floats. And I think these were straight, some of them were straight out of the holiday parades. So for the, October, I think I saw like the villains one mm-hmm. and the one from the Nightmare Before Christmas.
And they I don't were actually playing, I they think were playing
holiday party ones.
They were playing the Boo to You music as well, which is that parade is the Boo to You parade. So yeah, it was, yeah, they definitely were pulling that in.
Yeah. And the Christmas one was the same. They had like the goofy candy thing that whenever he's doing his parade thing. And so, so that's kind of cool that they're bringing that stuff in. They have a lot, and you know, there's a lot of magic shots you can do if you have the memory maker. Definitely ask your photographer for magic shots because they put a lot of little Christmas things in there. It's really cool. They, you know, I feel like it's still, you're still getting that flavor of the holidays.
It's not what you've always gotten, but it's a touch of it. Plus it's different. So it's actually kind of nice. It's refreshing, I guess, in that way. Your classics are sort of there, but just in a different way.
Yeah. With the short ones that you don't have the streets blocked for an inordinate amount of time.
Right.
I mean, it's basically about 10 minutes, max 10 minutes, and it's done. And then they open it up and everybody goes and does their thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's really easy to find a spot where you're still 6 feet apart from other people. People don't always do that, but I do think you're outside and, you know, you have to wear your mask. So I think it's okay for the short amount of time you're standing there.
Except for when you jump out right in front of Sandy's camera, then she gets real testy.
Yeah, ooh, I took live where like, did you guys hear me yelling at those people? They were horrible.
She got very testy.
I did.
And I hear that they brought Jingle Cruise back again this year too, which yeah. was, I think I surprised a lot Jingle of Cruise.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Do you want to tell our listeners what that is in case they don't know?
So, do you want to tell George?
Oh, go ahead.
Okay.
No, George should tell. George never
talks. You want me to tell you?
Okay. Yes.
So basically it's a re-theme of the Jungle Cruise with a Christmas story, and it's labeled the Jingle Cruise instead.
So is it full of bad jokes still? It's still like
It's like bad puns left and right, but yeah.
I think they even up their game with the speakers on the boats so that you can hear the skippers better. I think that they've kind of fixed that a little bit.
I noticed that in a lot. Oh, go ahead, George.
So they put plexi on the boats, or how are they really keeping people distant on those?
Yeah, they are putting plexiglass, and they're sanitizing the boats between. So this is one of the things I saw in October when I was there. They would have somebody come on and spray the whole boat down, and then that boat would just go with it would go empty for that round, and then when it would come around you'd put people on it. So like every other time they were sanitizing the boat. So that's one of the things that is making the lines look longer, because there's no fast pass and they stretch out the lines for 6 feet between people. So and then they're sanitizing the things between, so It's not always like you don't always get a clean one. Sometimes people, like at Splash Mountain, people were getting off and we were getting right back on. So definitely bring your own hand sanitizer. You want to be doing that all the time. But yeah, they are going in and they're spraying things down and they're doing constant cleaning.
And they don't, if I'm not mistaken, and please correct me because I didn't do the Jungle Cruise, but they're only loading one family on each boat, right?
No.
Or, no. Okay. But they also don't fill it all the way.
They don't, but they have that plexiglass separation. So okay. Like family of two will go up to the front and then family of four will sit.
So in the like front. The buses.
Nobody sort of. In that center part.
Okay.
You know? So yeah, they're spreading you out. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. So there's something else on here for Skyliner Resorts.
So I wanted to touch on this because this was, well, Elizabeth, you stayed at Boardwalk, right? Mm-hmm. And then I stayed at Yacht Club. And then the second trip I did, we stayed at the Caribbean Beach, and Donna, you stayed at Art of Animation, right?
Yes.
So, you know, I think it's worth touching on the Skyliner because I don't really think of, the Boardwalk is a Skyliner resort, but do you want to talk about that, Elizabeth?
Yeah, it actually is, to the extent that there is not a bus running sometimes to Hollywood Studios from Boardwalk because they want you to take the Skyliner. So, and the Skyliner, honestly, you know, it opened before all this happened. It's ideal for COVID because there's so many gondolas and they've put one family or party on each gondola, so you're automatically socially distanced. So it was by far the most distanced way to get around. You know, if you some of the boats aren't even running in some cases. Like you can take a boat from Wilderness Lodge to Magic Kingdom right now, but you can't take a boat from Boardwalk to Hollywood Studios.
They changed that while we were there.
Oh. Okay, so that's brand new because the friendships were not running in September or October. So, it definitely was the most distanced way to travel, and it can take you to this. It's the first time that you can go sort of from resort to resort on Disney transportation. You couldn't do that before. So I know Sandy did this as well on both of your trips. I think eating at Riviera Resort, the brand new resort at Topolino's Kit Terrace, we did that. From the Boardwalk as well. Yeah, it's great.
So it's funny, I didn't actually use the Skyliner for either of those.
Oh.
My plan for Yacht Club was to do it for breakfast, but when we walked over there to get on the Skyliner, it was gated, like the gates were shut, and you couldn't get to that area of the back gate of Epcot. And I guess we were just too early. I don't remember what time it was, probably like 8 or 8:30, something like that. I think our reservation was probably like 9 o'clock. So we ended up having to walk back to, I think we walked to just to Beach Club and got an Uber. But so keep that in mind. If that's your plan for an early breakfast, you might want to check with your concierge or front desk at your resort and make sure that the Skyliner will actually be running that early. When we stayed at Caribbean Beach is basically connected to Riviera Resort. So we just walked. It was me and
Yeah, Anna. It is. Actually, that stop is, yeah, they say it's a Caribbean Beach stop, but it's actually right at Riviera as well. So.
And see, for us at Art of Animation, they were telling everybody not to ride the Skyliner. They said, please take the buses because they had basically had, they had no buses at Pop Century. So they had everybody going from Pop and they would let like one family every like 5 minutes from Art of Animation because they wanted you to take the bus. And luckily we had reservations at Yacht Club for breakfast, so they let us go through even though it was too early.
Okay.
And we were actually put in a different line so that we didn't have to wait in the general line. We actually were in the handicap line.
So, and our experience was, because again, we go to Disney all the time, so we know what we're doing. And we walked out to get on the bus to go to, we did all of it. We went out because we didn't check any of the hours. We went out to get on the boat. It wasn't running. So we went back to get on the bus. It wasn't running. So we had to go back. And so we literally walked out to the boat and then out to the buses at Boardwalk and then back out to the Skyliner. When I was there, the Skyliner was running. I know. The Skyliner was running 8:30 to 8:30. So that actually factored into both. So it factored into our Hollywood Studios we had intended to get to Hollywood Studios earlier than we did, but because we did all that back and forth, by the time we did get to the Skyliner, it was after 8:30 and it was running. So we were a little late getting, we were still in the studios by 10 o'clock, but it, we were a little bit later than we had wanted to be. And then because that you have to do that whole, it's not a direct connection. So yeah, it's a little convoluted, but then you know, it looks like it's going to be a direct. And then when we went to Riviera, we had 9 p.m. reservations. So we had to look at the hours. Actually, I think it might have stopped running at 8. It was either 8 or 8:30. Yeah. But I think it might have been 8. And so we actually at 7:30 went over there. We had checked the hours. I think that's right, that it was stopping at 8. So we got on at 7:30 and went over there and just, we looked around the resort and had a drink. And they actually seated us early as well. 9 o'clock reservation. The place is
pretty empty. It's probably running later now because the hours have been extended since September.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Epcot was closing at 6 or 7. 7, I think. Yeah.
So you do have to take, you have to switch cars at Caribbean Beach. Mm-hmm. So keep that in mind. You're going to get in a line at Caribbean Beach in the morning, because when Anna and I were walking up, there was a pretty big line for the Skyliner. There were some buses sitting there that were going to take you to the parks. So it was raining. We jumped on a bus, but the bus sat and sat and sat. So we were finally like, well, maybe we should get on the Skyliner. I mean, it was kind of one of those things where we were like, what do you think? I don't know. What do you think? You know, and neither one of us wanted to be the one to make that decision. But we got off the bus and got onto the Skyliner, and I noticed that the people coming from like Art of Animation and Pop were having to get off of theirs and then come all the way down and get to the back of the line for Caribbean Beach. So that is something in the mornings. If you're trying to get to Hollywood, well, you don't really have to get to Hollywood Studios that early anymore, so it doesn't really matter. but if you were trying to get there before park opening, that would be something that would trip you up. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. But luckily, you don't have to do that anymore.
So. Did you guys visit some restaurants while you were there, and what's changed?
Well, they're not seating as many tables. It's very much like any other state where the restaurants are actually open for indoor seating. About every other table is occupied. They've got hand stations to sanitize right as you're walking in the door. Sometimes your silverware is sealed in paper so that you don't actually, nobody has touched your silverware. There are a couple of interesting little things, but we had no problems. Do highly recommend making reservations, because we wanted to change one and actually book a reservation in the park, and it was impossible. Yeah. So if you want a sit-down meal, you definitely need a reservation. Quick service is, everything is done through the app, which I did not like. Neither one of us did, especially since I was paying with cash, and it made it very difficult to do that. They did not want to deal with any cash whatsoever.
They don't want to touch anything.
No. Yeah. And so, but if you had gift certificates, which I had some gift cards as well, you had to input the gift card, and you couldn't input more than one at a time. So it had to go on your credit card if it was anything over that gift card amount. So it's definitely some things to keep in mind for quick service locations. And then the other you can't actually go in either. Until they actually, your order is ready to be picked up.
Which I love, because now you can get tables, which you couldn't do before. But the key too is you need to set up your app before you go, or you know, before you want to order anything. Because if you don't have your credit card and everything set up on it, and it is separate from your regular My Disney Experience, you could have set up your card on your My Disney Experience, but you have to set it up on the mobile ordering as well. Unless you have an Apple phone, in which case you can use Apple Pay. Which is what I do. I didn't actually set it up, but my husband discovered, because he never used the app on previous trips, it was always up to me to do it. Yeah. And so he went to go get a beer, and he wasn't set up. So yeah,
I know. I felt bad. Yeah, I did offer to buy him a beer though.
He was fine.
Yeah, but it is, and another thing to note about the restaurant reservations, they're not 180 days out now, they're 60 days out. And you can make the reservation and cancel it within 24 hours of your reservation time. So I would say make the reservation if you, I don't know, just make reservations, because with the shortened park hours and just the way everything is right now, you might really enjoy sitting down for a meal at one of those times. And I didn't regret any of the reservations I made. So
it was also good. If you don't have a smartphone, it would be impossible, because they want you to use the QR codes or actually get into the restaurant menu on your phone. They don't have menus.
We had to, whenever I went, Anna and I went and ate at Wolfgang Puck at Disney Springs. And for some reason, my phone was stuck in this loop where when I would scan the QR code, it would bring up the restaurant from the night before. I could not get it to bring up that restaurant, and they were able to give us a paper menu. So, I think they do have it as backup, you know, because obviously that's got to happen to other people, but for the most part, yeah, you're right. They do give you the QR code and you're supposed to scan it and just pick, you know, look at the menu on your phone and pick from there. So,
yeah. But a smartphone is sort of standard equipment now for Disney anyway. I mean,
well, my parents don't
next
have
year, them. The magic, the, yes. the, no, but I'm telling you, that's the thing, is it's going to be, I don't even know if they may do a loaner program or something, but it's, that's how tickets are going to be read. I mean, the magic mm-hmm. bands are going away. Yeah. The keys mm-hmm. to your room. So it really is sort of a basic piece of equipment for, and so if you don't have one, that's something you need to talk to your travel agent about immediately, because it will be a problem for your trip. So,
yeah. And it looks like you guys took a VIP tour.
We kind of did, jealous.
I've
finally.
Still never done one of those.
That was awesome.
So, well, we did it for a few reasons, and the main one is the lines are long. You know, everybody talks about the low crowds, and that's not a lie, but because there's no fast passes, the lines can be very long. And I found when I was there in September, I mean, I stood in line for 60 minutes for Pirates of the Caribbean. I never stand in a 60-minute line,
yeah.
ever. And I was kind of mad at myself. And I was there for somebody's birthday, so I was sort of like, well, I'll do whatever you want to do. But even after a little while, she was like, yeah. I mean, we went to Haunted Mansion, and she's like, I'm not standing in line for 90 minutes for Haunted Mansion. I'm just not doing it. So for us, my family was only there for, I think we had four park days. And we were going to Hollywood Studios twice because we really wanted to make sure we rode Rise of the Resistance. So we weren't even going to Animal Kingdom. And Sandy and I were in the airport together, and her family was there as well. She had one more day than I did. And we were like, why didn't we book a VIP tour?
So Chris was sitting by you on the plane.
Yeah, on the plane. And Chris said, I think we're going to, Sandy wanted to do a VIP tour, but she said it would spoil me, so we're not doing it. I was like, Sandy didn't tell me that. I want to do a VIP tour. And there's eight of us. It will make sense to split it up this way. So short story long, I made Sandy call VIP services, and they put us on a wait list. So we said, well, we really want to do it tomorrow, because that's when I didn't have any reservations, any dining reservations. Sandy did, but I didn't care about Sandy. So that was the easiest day for me to do it. So at like 9 o'clock in the morning on Thursday, the next day, they called Sandy. She was in line and didn't answer the phone.
I know. Oh God, I was on a ride. Jeez.
I know. So, so I made her skip, Star Wars ride later and, call them back. So we started our tour at noon, and it was the eight of us, and I'm so glad we did that. We went to every park but Epcot, right? We did not go into Epcot. And we rode all the major, I mean, the main reason we didn't go into Epcot is we both had time in there to do what we wanted to do. And so we went to Animal Kingdom and rode Everest and Pandora, Flight of Passage, which, by the way, they are very far apart from each other when it's hot. And that's all you're doing. You're running across the park to do. They're very far apart from each other.
Yeah.
And at Hollywood Studios, we did everything. We did Tower. We did Rock and Roller Coaster. We did the new Mickey and Minnie's Runaway. We did Slinky Dog. We did the Alien Swirling Saucers, Midway Mania. And we did Smuggler's Run.
Yep.
We did not do Star Tours because we knew the lines were fairly short for that. And we couldn't do Rise of the Resistance with a VIP guide.
Yeah.
So, and then at Magic Kingdom, we did Splash and Big Thunder. We didn't have time to do Space because we got ice cream at Animal Kingdom.
It was funny because the guide said that he really appreciated that we knew exactly what we wanted to do and that we had a good understanding of how much time to run around and get all this done. Because, I mean, I think we had pretty realistic expectations. But
how did you get between parks?
The VIP guide takes you behind backstage and their van is parked back there. So you don't have to go through security after that first time. And this is the only way right now that you can park hop.
Until January 1st.
You'll be able to park hop again. But yeah, at that time, there was no park hopping unless you were with a VIP guide.
Well, and incidentally, I mean, for us, we didn't end up park hopping until after 2 o'clock because we didn't start our tour till noon. But if you start your tour at 9 o'clock in the morning, this is the only way after January 1st for now that you can park hop before 2 p.m. because, you know, that's rule is you can't. Yeah. So it's still, yeah. And it also gives you sort of it's not front of the line pass. You may have to wait a little bit, but it depends. But it moves you through everything so much faster. And so it really gave us a good kickstart to our trip.
It's basically fast pass access when there's no fast pass people in line otherwise. So it is it's not cheap. It's definitely a splurge. But if it's we had a pretty ideal situation where we had two families together who could split it. And we had teenagers who want to ride all that big stuff that is the stuff that normally has the big lines. And we would not have gotten most of that done. And it really took the pressure off on our Magic Kingdom day, too, because we had done Splash and Big Thunder, you know, so... And our Animal Kingdom Day, for that matter.
Well, I didn't even have an Animal Kingdom Day, so I got to go to Animal Kingdom. And then we did Space Mountain on our last morning, which we only had about 2 hours in Magic Kingdom. So we were able to knock that out. It is expensive, but at the same time, this is at a time where Disney isn't as crowded. And actually, right now, this year isn't as expensive. So for us, it actually made sense. It was money that we probably would have put toward a different part of our trip normally that we didn't have to because things just weren't costing as much. So being able to split it, especially with another family that also knew what they wanted to do. And had I not done it, I would have had two very grumpy teenagers because we would have been in line a lot. And that's worth a lot of money to not have that. I'm just saying.
So just so you guys know, it's up to 10 people and there's a minimum of 7 hours. And the hourly fee varies around $500 an hour, you know, up or down a little bit from that. But that gives you a good ballpark of what you're looking at. So, yeah.
You get a special pin.
You do get a pin.
Oh, nice. That makes it worth it.
Sign me up.
All right. So one of the last topics, Rise of the Resistance queue.
This one changed between my trips. So the way it is right now is when you wake up, you go on your My Disney Experience app, and at 7 a.m., you don't have to be in the park. When we were there in October, you had to be in the park, but when they changed it in November, you basically try to get a boarding group for Rise of the Resistance. And if you get it, yay, it tells you an estimated time to come to the park. If you don't get it, they basically say, you know, relax, don't come to the park right away.
And you can try again this afternoon.
Yeah, but try again at 2 p.m. So yeah, that's the way they're doing it now. And I don't know how ideal it is. I've heard that your speed of your internet or your, you know, data or whatever is key. I had bad luck myself. So, yeah.
So the tip, yeah, I had very bad luck. The tips are you don't be on the park Wi-Fi. That's a death sentence. And apparently some of the mobile companies are better than others. Although we ended up getting it. We're on T-Mobile, but it took me 2 tries in September. And then in October, I did it the first day both times and I didn't get it. So I had my video game playing husband do it Saturday morning and he did get it. He actually got a pretty high number. So some of it too is just having very fast reflexes. And but the internet speed is important because it's all about how fast you hit the server.
Like it can depend on where you're standing at your resort, you know, but Yeah, it's kind of the speed is the thing. I don't love it because, well, okay. So one thing that was actually kind of cool when we were on the VIP tour, the 2 p.m. slot, we got it, but Elizabeth's family did not. Our VIP guide told us that if we would go to talk to the cast members about it, that they might put us in, like, put the rest of our party into the boarding group too. And so when we were there in November, I told Lindsay and Elizabeth that he had said that. And so what happened was the second boarding group, me and Anna did not get it, but Lindsay and Donna did. And so we asked if we could go in and talk to the cast members and see if we could get in, and they did put us in, and they really didn't act like it was a big deal at all. So I would say if some of your group gets it and some doesn't, definitely go and talk to them about putting everybody.
But somebody in your group has to have it. It's not like you can't just go and say, I didn't get it.
Yeah. Half of our group had it.
Yes. Well, we tried to get it. We kept getting error messages when we had Sandy and Anna in with us. But when we removed them from our group, we were able to get it. And then we were able to add them back in.
This was a kind of a glitch thing that I didn't know was going to happen, but Anna and I didn't think we were going to go to Hollywood Studios that day because Anna bought her ticket at a different time and the park wasn't available. And so we switched our park days. Well, the day before that night, we realized we could go that morning. And so we switched our park day. And then that morning, Anna tried to get me and her into the boarding group. Lindsay and Donna didn't know we were even going to the park at that time, you know, and so because it was 7 a.m. And when it turned out, when Lindsay was doing it, her app was pulling me in because we're connected, and she didn't know to remove me from it. We kind of think maybe that glitched it. I don't know. It's kind of, it's hard to say. If you're there as a normal person, you probably don't have 100 friends that that might mess you up.
At the same
time,
might
not be a thing, but that was kind of a thing that might have glitched us. Yeah.
It, totally worth it, though. I mean, you know, we talk about the queue here, but the ride is pretty amazing. So, and if you're a Star Wars fan, it's a must do. I mean, Chris and Marcus were geeking out over it. I mean, I thought it was very cool, but, and I'm not like a Star Wars fan, like, way up high. I'm like a medium level Star Wars fan, and I thought it was super cool, but they were just like around every corner, just like totally nerding out about it. And you can buy a Lego set now of the vehicle, that one of the transporter vehicles.
Oh,
so
nice.
It's
well, when we did it with me and Donna, and Lindsay and Anna, it broke down, and that stunk. But we were stuck in the part when you come out of the transport and you're in the room with all the stormtroopers. And so that was not a bad place to be stuck. I think there's worse places you could be stuck. But
I actually got stuck in the queue right after that, the first time I rode it. We were there for a very long time, and we didn't know if it was part of the... We're like, wow, are they just keeping us here for a long time? To make
now that we've ridden it once where it was completely, you know, it's not.
Okay, well, that's our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous podcasts on the podcast page at outlandertravel.com, iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Donna, Sandy, Elizabeth, and myself, George, thanks for joining us this week. Gotta fly.